This is the Agribusiness Report. I'm Tony St. James. Today our special guest is G.T. Thompson. He represents the 15th Congressional District of Pennsylvania, but is also chairman of the House Ag Committee. Joins us from Washington, D.C. in just a moment. Speaking of D.C., that's where Mary Thomas Hart is with the National Cattlemen's Beef Association.
There is certainly the threat that we could lose that livestock carve-out. So I would ask your listeners, if you're really invested in the Farm Bill, and certainly if you use EQIP dollars for livestock practices, call your member of Congress and let them know that, and let them know how valuable those funds are and those resources are. Because we got a lot of conservation title funding in the Inflation Reduction Act last year, but none of that funding included a livestock carve-out. So we don't want that trend to continue into the 2023 Farm Bill.
It's the Agribusiness Report. I'm Tony St. James, joined today by the Honorable G.T. Thompson, Chairman of the House Agriculture Committee and a representative from the
Is it the 15th Congressional District of Pennsylvania?
So it hasn't changed. You haven't been here long enough for them to change your district number.
Well, I have. I started out Pennsylvania 5 for at least 10 years, and then I had to go out and buy a bunch of 1s to make it 15. Tony, it's just great to be with you, my friend. Thanks for the opportunity.
Well, thank you, and you're going to get the opportunity to write a farm bill.
Yeah.
You look back in history at the number of chairmen who've been able to write a farm bill, and there's not a whole lot of them.
No, we've had 53 chairmen altogether since 1820. I'm the 53rd, but many of those never had the opportunity to write a farm bill.
Exciting?
A little it is exciting.
Scary?
It can be a little overwhelming at some point, but it's been good. It's been good because of the intensity of how we've been working. We really picked up the intensity the past 2.5 years. I mean, listening sessions all over the country. I've been somewhere over 40 states, a couple states multiple times based on the size of their agriculture industry. And that's just in the past 2.5 years. We have more to go. Great hearings here in Washington. We really have picked up the tempo of those since January. And so I look like it's a I use a baseball analogy where with the Farm Bill, we're rounding first base. We're collecting great information. We're still collecting that information, bringing back the voices of American agriculture to the table here in Washington. And we hit second base. We're going to be starting to write this thing. And then we get to third. That means we've done a markup in committee. That'll probably be early September is my hope. And of course, we'll cross home plate when we get this thing passed and enacted into law.
Let's stick with your baseball analogy then. What inning are we in?
Well, we're probably at this point, I would say, based on the clock, because the Farm Bill does expire at the end of September. And I tell people I've got one goal, thousands of objectives. The one goal is we're going to do this Farm Bill in a bipartisan, bicameral way, on time, and highly effective. And so the highly effective part is because we bring in so many voices of American agriculture to the table. We've good information to work with to do this right and do it the way that deserves to be done. But what inning we're in, I would say we're probably, I'll be generous, say we're in the fifth inning.
Okay. I was wondering whether I could take the baseball analogy one more time around here, but I don't think I will.
Well, I will tell you, there's not going to be any seventh inning stretch.
Okay.
We're just going to keep
going.
We're just going to keep going.
Well, part of getting a farm bill through is not just doing it through your committee. You've got to get it on the floor and then passed.
That's correct.
We've seen a farm bill that didn't pass. That was a few years ago.
2014.
There are some concerns right now in farm country as to whether or not a farm bill can pass. Do you share some of those concerns right now?
I don't, only because we're working it hard and doing the right things, again, in a bipartisan way. There's always rhetoric out there, and quite frankly, you get a few voices in the wilderness, even among just a handful of my members in Congress, both sides of the aisle, but they're a small fraction, and I'm very confident that we're going to get this done. And again, we're going to meet all those metrics that I've outlined. And I've got a lot of confidence that we'll do that. I shared that, I was summoned to the White House here about 3 weeks ago with Chairman Stabenow and Ranking Members Bozeman and Scott. And I sat there with the president. We were down in the lower level in the library and small round table. The president's sitting over here to my left. And I will say the president and some of the Democratic members there were kind of negative on the farm bill. You know, at the time we were waiting on the debt ceiling. You know, we've got that done. And I knew we would get it done because there's a deadline. And unfortunately, deadlines are meaningful in this town, right? And so I tried to convince the president. I wanted to be give him some encouragement. So I talked about how I've been in, at that point, 41 states in the past 2.5 years. You know, Tony, it was really funny. He sort of sobered up and leaned forward and looked at me and said, "Are you running?" As if I'm running for president. So I paused for impact and I said, "Yes, Mr. President, I am running to get a farm bill done." Because that's what we need. That's what American agriculture needs to have. That's what every American family needs to have happen because of what, you know, what this number one industry of agriculture provides for every family.
Let's talk about you brought in the not necessarily the budget, but the debt ceiling part of this. Money, finding the money to make sure that we can do this. There are some options out there. I guess one extension, baseline bill. Where do you find us in all of this?
We're going to need some new dollars. You know, an extension is, if we have to do that, that's, you know, it would be very unfortunate because we've missed the opportunity to make the improvements and refinements that I'm absolutely convinced we need to do based on what I've heard from the people of agriculture all across this country. We're going to need some new dollars. I think there's some opportunities. There are some dollars that that were really earmarked by the administration or in Democrat-led legislation in the 117th Congress that were earmarked related to agriculture that have not been spent yet. And so I think those some of those were addressed in the debt ceiling, but there's just a small fraction. There's more out there. Now, if it's already the check's been written, that's fine. But if it's just sitting there in a pot of money that somebody in the administration can arbitrarily exercise, I think that's fair game. Well, and the other one I'd put on the table, and I really appreciate the support of our budget chairman, Jody Arrington. He's a good agriculture guy, right? Lubbock, Texas, just a dear friend, brother in the Lord. He and I have talked about how 80% of what we've spent on agriculture since the 2018 Farm Bill has been outside the Farm Bill. It's been that disaster money, right, for weather, for trade, for COVID, and specifically in the weather-related. That is never done very efficiently when you pass a disaster bill, because you get a bill like that, you do it emotionally. And when you do bills emotionally, you don't always do the best possible job. And quite frankly, there are elements of Congress that will hang other bills, spending bills, like Christmas ornaments on it. and so you do a lot of overspending because you have to get this done emotionally because of the disaster impact on agriculture. I've been working for 2.5 years, and I think Chairman Arrington is supportive of the concept. Let's take some of those monies from disaster relief, incorporate it into crop insurance. It will make crop insurance more more attractive. We'll get more subscriptions, which helps bring income in. And at the same time, we will save money by avoiding the typical emotional disaster. And we're going to have to do some of that disaster because you can't always anticipate what happens to the American farmer. But I think a lot of it we could take care of by incorporating in there. And that would give us some new dollars to use. Now, we're probably going to need more than that I think that's a great start.
Some of that money was earmarked for CCC.
Yeah.
Commodity Credit Corporation through USDA. Are you looking into that as well? Are you kind of looking at how that CCC money has been invested?
Well, actually, the Agriculture Appropriations Subcommittee really took a preemptive strike on that with a bill that they passed out of their subcommittee for appropriations in terms of looking at what was appropriate, restoring some new guardrails and guidelines, or reaffirming previous guardrails and guidelines on the Commodity Credit Corporation. So that that's led by Chairman Andy Harris, and I appreciate the work that they did. I'm not sure that we're going to have to. I think they perhaps, if this is successful the whole way through the appropriations process, that will address that issue. Because I do think there were some a little more liberty taken in dipping into that CCC than what it should have been. That is supposed to help farmers that fund when they get into issues, right? It's to pay off the crop insurance. It's to help pay the dairy margin coverage when there's it's triggered by the margin. It is where we do some of the pay for the conservation programs. All things that are really about helping farmers facing struggles and issues. And quite frankly, what USDA did were worthy programs that should have been done of the administration working with Congress, and we've done it legislatively. We've been happy to do that, but that's not what happened. Things like how do you help small processors? How do you get more competition in protein processing? Well, they did this program, the climate-friendly commodity grant program that they did. All things that were new opportunities to grow, but really didn't address financial challenges. And without that element of addressing the financial hardship for farmers, I think it falls outside the definition of the authority that the executive branch has. And so I'm thinking actually through the appropriations process, those guidelines will be tightened. That's happened that way once before, at least once.
So good to see you. I know that you probably keep a bag packed at all times, ready to hop in, go somewhere else. Still have a few states left.
We did. Most recently was in Oregon. Thursday night of this week, I'll be jumping on a plane and heading to Santa Fe, New Mexico. I'm meaning to spend some time with some cattlemen out there. And then we'll be in Tennessee, we'll be in Connecticut and Maine. We've got some more stops to go as we head to second base and we start the process of taking all this great information and doing some critical analysis and start the process of writing the 2023 Farm Bill.
So good to see you. Come back and see us soon.
Will you? Thanks so much.
Again, it's the Honorable G.T. Thompson, Chairman of the House Agriculture Committee, and joins us on today's Agribusiness.
Life doesn't come with guarantees, but working with Rob Seco comes pretty close. Our strategic investments in the seed we offer are designed to directly improve your bottom line. From full trait platforms, breeding and development, to field-by-field planning and seed-driven crop inputs, with Rob Seco, you have precisely what you need to improve plant performance and increase yield. Every farm, every crop, and every acre. Learn more at robseco.com.
Success is attained by those who approach problems with a plan and a purpose. As an advocate for High Plains cotton growers since 1956, Plains Cotton Growers has been tackling the tough issues facing cotton growers through beneficial legislative and regulatory changes. An important part of PCG's success is through close working relationships with congressional representatives and federal regulatory staff, allowing cotton growers more time to devote to farming operations. From the halls of Congress to the dusty turn roads of the High Plains, cotton producers depend on Plains Cotton Growers.
Report. Welcome back. You're listening to the Agribusiness Report. Our special guest today, G.T. Thompson, Chairman of the House Ag Committee.
Let's talk about supply chains. Each year, Cotton Incorporated's global supply chain marketing team has hundreds of meetings with brands and retailers in all corners of the globe. They're working to find innovative ways to replace synthetic fabrics with natural, sustainable cotton, to expand your customer base and drive more demand. You grow the cotton. The Cotton Research and Promotion Program helps grow the value. Learn more at cottonboard.org.
Texas Corn Producers serves the state's corn farmers through both the Corn Board and the Association. The board is putting your checkoff dollars to work in research, promotion, and education to ensure producer profitability and market expansion. The member-supported association is the farmer's advocate in Austin and Washington, D.C. on issues from the Farm Bill, water and property rights, and more. Join the Texas Corn Producers Association today and get the latest news and information about Texas Corn Producers' efforts online at www.texascorn.org.
This is the Agribusiness Report. Again, our special guest, G.T. Thompson, chairman of the House Ag Committee from Washington, D.C.
Success is attained by those who approach problems with a plan and a purpose. As an advocate for High Plains cotton growers since 1956, Plains Cotton Growers has been tackling the tough issues facing cotton growers through beneficial legislative and regulatory changes. An important part of PCG's success is through close working relationships with congressional representatives and federal regulatory staff, allowing cotton growers more time to devote to farming operations. From the halls of Congress to the dusty turnroads of the High Plains, cotton producers depend on Plains Cotton Growers.
There's a tradition down here in the South, a tradition of hard work, a tradition of straight talk. For more than 100 years, Delta Pine Cotton has been a proud part of that tradition. With proven yield potential and genetics you won't find anywhere else, Strong is a legacy all its own. Protect yours with Strong Cotton from Delta Pine Brand. Read and follow pesticide label directions, grain marketing, and other stewardship practices.
It's the Agribusiness Report. Mary Thomas Hart with the National Cattlemen's Beef Association.
I think that, you know, each landowner feels a responsibility to take care of their water resource. And just because there's not a regulation, just because there's not a permitting requirement, doesn't equate directly to environmental damage or ecological damage. And I think that that's one of the biggest messages that we've tried to get across in having this conversation. The definition of WOTUS is a line drawing exercise, right? It's not saying which waters are protected and which waters aren't. It's saying which features are subject to federal jurisdiction and permitting requirements and which ones are left to states and counties and municipalities and landowners to take care of. All of that water is being taken care of. All of those features are being effectively managed. Do you want EPA to do it, or do you want the state or the county to do it? That's the only question that WOTUS asks.